Okay, so know that we're going to record this, and so it's going to become available to other people. So when you talk, you don't need to say your name. We want to keep it pretty private, but it will be heard by others from the class that haven't been able to be in the class for whatever reason at this point. We have about 20 people that are signed up. Some are at another country, so they need to listen to it later. So know that that's what's happening. And if you do say your name, you know, just know that it's getting out there. Just don't say your last name. And I'll be real careful as well. But what I want to do is I'm going to leave the whole thing open. I'm not going to mute because it's a conversation. I don't know if you've all been able to read the pages. I just did about an hour ago just to kind of keep my thoughts fresh for this evening. But so let's open up with prayer before we get started. I thank you, Lord, for just getting together with other people who want to talk about you. You love it when we talk about you. And so as we glean out of this book, Abandonment and Rejection, that we find the truth that's going to help us greatly find freedom. Because rejection and abandonment affects so many areas of our life, Father, and we need to be the healthiest and freest people on the planet as Christians. And so I'm asking, Lord, that you be with us and give us the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding to apply what is being spoken here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I don't know who's in the class, but that's okay. We'll just talk with whoever's in here. What I did, just to get it started, is I read a few things and I wrote down about 8 or 9 things, actually, as little thought processes in case we kind of get stuck. We can I can ask a question and we can discuss that. But I hope that you've all been able to read the portion of the book. And if not, we're going to get into the discussion tonight, which will help do that. So let me just pose a question and then you all pipe in. Whoever wants to speak and share what transpired. Now, this is all coming out of just those first 4 pages. One of the things that I wanted to ask, and maybe in conversation, is to kind of get a handle on what abandonment and rejection is. And we normally can do it through some examples. So my question is this. What area in your life have been impacted by feelings of rejection? So that's something to think about as you were probably reading it when I was giving examples about feeling rejection, what that felt like. Does anybody, I know you're in the class, you're in this talk, whatever it is. So what areas in your life have you seen rejection working?
This has been an area in my own life that there has been a lot of, you know, I've had a lot of issues with rejection. I mean, first of all, I wasn't wanted because I was a girl.
Right.
I mean, there was that was number one thing. My father didn't want a girl first.
Right.
And so I think that that's part of it. And then,
are you still working through those areas of rejection, though, when, as you know that it's connected to your upbringing?
I've done a lot of work on this already.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I'm just aware of it. I know that I've had to work through a lot of feelings of not being wanted.
Yes.
I think that's probably a big thing, and it affects you like when you go into a room of people, because if you already are feeling not wanted, it doesn't make you want to socialize very much. So you tend to isolate. You tend to hold back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It impacts your whole life. It impacts your relationship with your spouse, with your children, with God, because now you think you have to be perfect and do everything right to be accepted by God, or you're going to feel rejected of God. It's not even God. It's not anybody really doing it. It is our perception of what happened to us in our life.
It's, you know, and some of it is how the enemy plants lies in there.
Right.
So, I mean, until you can put God's truth in there, you know, that I found that that's been an issue for me, that it's helped as the Lord has taken me through different forms of deliverance, that he's been bringing me around to the things that would help me to begin to see that it is a lie from the enemy, that that's not how God looks at me at all.
Right. And so this is the, we got to retrain our thinking. We've been thinking a certain way since the day we can remember thinking. And most of it, I'd say 80, 90% of it isn't true. And so that's what we live through, is the things that we think are true, but they're not. And he wants us to regain our thought, have the mind of Christ, think like he thinks. This morning, the Lord brought me through something, and it was beautiful, and I just want to articulate it here, hot off the press. And again, this is a time everybody can pipe in and share, but I was not feeling good this morning. I just, my body just was going, you know, lefty when I wanted to go righty. And I lay there and I heard the Lord say, when you walk after the Spirit, your body has to conform. See, what we do is we live after the flesh. We live after how we feel. We don't feel so good, or I have a headache, or, you know, we let the body dictate to us how we're to live that moment. And so I took this, that moment of time, and I said, I'm going to right now focus on the Spirit, because the Spirit is alive and well and breathing and healthy and happy and all that great stuff. So I'm going to live there. And what I do is a good thing we do, is we have to reject the flesh. Okay, we're going to talk later about when rejection is good or when an abandonment is good. These are one of those times where I actually rejected myself, my flesh, and accepted the Spirit. And I got up out of bed and I was feeling great, because I didn't let my flesh dictate how my day was going to go. Okay, we're going to talk more about that as we go, but I just wanted to throw that in there. It was like a hot-off-the-press experience about rejecting yourself in a right way, because we have self-rejection. That is not good. Again, we're going to talk about, we have a lot to talk about in the next few weeks. But what I wanted to get at right now, though, is, I know somebody just added to the class, we were talking about the areas in our life that have been impacted by feelings of rejection. And I think one of the ladies, I'm not going to say her name, just spoke. And is there anybody else that wants to pipe in? And you can also add that other question would be any examples of being abandoned, because those are the two words we're going to be talking about through the whole 7 weeks. So go ahead and share anything like that if you want to do that.
Well, I always felt I was abandoned and rejected by my grandfather and my mother.
Yes.
And so I love people, so I forced myself to do things and be involved. But then I would always feel rejected when they didn't agree with what I was doing, or, you know, any behavior. It would just feel like it was my mother and my grandfather again.
You never felt like you made the mark, huh? You never made
it. Yeah, no.
Right. Well, see, isn't that interesting? Isn't that our listening to a lie? Because, first of all, we don't really know a person's expectations. We assume that's what it is, and we're not meeting it because we just constantly feel rejection. Here's the cool part. I'm just going to throw it in here. Here's the cool part about this. If you feel rejection, now grab this, people. If you feel rejection, I guarantee you that other person that you're feeling rejection about is feeling rejection too, because you cannot feel something that they're not already feeling for themselves. So it's the same thing with that John 20:23 scripture where it says, whosoever sins are retained, they are retained, and whoever sins are remitted are remitted. In other words, when you forgive, and we're going to talk about that tonight, when you forgive somebody, you no longer retain those defiling things that come from that individual and their heart, because we receive whatever they're giving through unforgiveness. If we forgive them, it blocks them from allowing whatever their junk is in their heart from landing on us, from making us feel rejection. You know, we're going to learn how never to feel rejection again. Isn't that worth it? To never feel rejection again. And I'm going to say it at the beginning. I'm going to say it at the very last session. It's all about forgiveness. And we're going to talk yeah. more about that as we go. So does anybody have any other stories about feeling rejection or abandoned? Just chime in anytime you want to as we go. If you think of something later on that, you know, you wanted to say now and we kind of moved on. So I'm going to go to the next little topic. Do you see the difference between abandonment and rejection? If so, what is it? Is there a difference between the two? Because I wrote about it in the book that we feel rejection and we've been abandoned. So is there a difference between the two? I'll go ahead and start talking, and we won't leave any dead space, and so we'll just chime in when you want. The feeling rejection is a response. The rejection is a response to being abandoned. So in the book, we talked about having been abandoned is the act. It's going to happen. You're going to be abandoned. Matter of fact, my husband abandoned me tonight. And it's so funny because I always have to go through something before I teach something. I don't know why. It's always like a final test to make sure I'm on the right track. I was doing something, and I was so excited about this thing I wanted to share with him. And it was only going to be like a 45-minute moment of time that I needed his undivided attention, okay? And so he got up in the middle of what we were doing and went into the kitchen and started tinkering in the kitchen. And I'm like, okay, what are you doing in the kitchen? I'm doing the dishes. And I thought, I mean, that's nice and all, but hey, there's a timing for everything. You don't do it in the middle of an intimate moment. You don't go do the dishes. So I felt absolutely abandoned by him, okay? Mm-hmm. It's going to happen, people, but it's what I do with it that's going to make me or break me. So what I did was I just kind of go, well, fine then. I turned the TV off because that's we were watching this really cool segment that I wanted to share with him. I turned it off. I went into my office and began working on something that I had to do. He comes walking in there, and he knew what he did was absolutely not good. He can sense that I was not happy, but I didn't say anything. He just knew. So then in about 5 minutes, I know I had to I couldn't teach a class tonight and feel having feelings negative towards my husband, feelings of abandonment, rejection, you might say. And I said, no, I'm going to take care of this. And so I went downstairs and I had a little talk with him because a lot of times we will not talk to people because we're too afraid to tell them, hey, you know, you just made me feel rejection. You know, sometimes we can talk to people. Sometimes we can't. But in this case, I was able to talk to him. And he goes, you know. I knew it. I did put more attention on that. We discussed it, forgave each other. I forgave him. And, you know, and now I'm okay again. I don't have any rejection at all because I applied forgiveness. And this can happen tonight. You can get off the phone and somebody can abandon you. It's, again, what are you going to do? Are you going to forgive them quickly? Are you going to talk it out if you can? Because 90% you can't. And so that's going to happen, isn't it? Is abandonment going to happen? Give me some examples of being abandoned. They're physical, hot off the press. Now, one lady said that she felt abandoned at birth because they wanted a boy, and she was a girl. So that's feelings of abandonment. That's a definite example of having been abandoned. Is there any other examples of being abandoned?
My mother was really young when she had me. So I was taken care of by my grandmother. So, and I guess my grandfather resented my mother for getting pregnant so young.
Yeah.
And I think those two, that's why my grandfather and my mother treated me so bad. They didn't really want me in their life at that time.
Right. And these are things you remember, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You're remembering them. I don't know. We're going to talk more later on how to really be restored, even though I'm pretty sure you have come to grips with some of these things already. I know for personally that you have. And yet there's still residue that we need to address still and get completely resolved in these areas. Because this will impact your children and your children's children and not just you. So what you're experiencing today, your kids are probably experiencing in some degree as well. Okay, you see how that works?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what we want to stop. We want to stop it in our generation. We do. We want to stop it. And now we might have grown-up kids already, might even have grandchildren, but you can still stop it in your generation. And the Lord can meet you in faith to be able to take care of any defilement that might have been put upon our children from our own feelings of rejection having been abandoned. So again, the abandonment is an act. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in the grocery store. They're going to tell you, I'll be right back, and they never come back. That's an abandonment. My husband left me in the middle of the program. That's an abandonment. It could be little things. It could be huge things of being, you know, left at the fire department's doorstep because they didn't want you. That's abandoned. There's a variety of ways of being abandoned. So how do we stop feeling rejection? I kind of gave an answer to you there. So what's one of the things that we need to do to stop the rejection?
By forgiving?
By forgiving.
I think we have to forgive. I think we have to follow what you said in forgiveness, where we list the things that it's made us feel.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's more than just saying I forgive you. It's really looking at what we've taken on from that person.
Yeah.
And in just laying it out. I know that's what I've been doing with this relationship that I have just terminated at this point. I haven't really terminated, but I'm not actively under this person's tutelage anymore. And I've just had to list those things. And, you know, if it comes up again, then I go back to the Lord with it.
Right now
for me. But, you know, I see that there's a process of healing. The Lord's showing me some of my thoughts, how I dwell on things that aren't so good,
mm-hmm.
and how he's taking me through that process where, you know, like this morning I was thinking, like, you know, I'd like to write a letter and really explain why.
Sure.
I don't know if I'll do that or not. But at least I had the thought, you know, like it might be just good to write down.
Yes.
But how I really feel about it, because it not only clarifies it for me, but it makes sure I've covered all the bases, which is important.
Right. And, you know, sometimes, here's the cool part. Sometimes when we write everything down and we read it, we go, oh, this isn't as bad as it looks. You know, sometimes it's so big in our thinking and so heavy. And I'll tell you what, though, the minute you get it out on the paper, you're actually confessing as you write it out, as you talk to the Lord. You're actually confessing. And then he starts to clean it up, and then you start going, wow, this is little. I don't even need to address this. I don't even need to say anything after all. Isn't that sometimes what happens?
Yes.
Yeah, because God would rather us be at peace with one another, not constantly confronting everybody and everything that happens to us. Yeah, so that whole, you know, identifying anything that comes upon you, if you've been in my teachings long enough, some of you have already heard about how to forgive from your heart, and we're going to talk about that next week, is that identifying those things that you've taken on from the other person. You started to feel rejection and angry and bitter and hurt and full of defilement and just feeling unworthy and sad and unloved. And, you know, those are the things that other person is even feeling. So then as you repent, you know, and confess those things that you took on, which became your sins, by the way, now you're free to forgive and have compassion. Because God will replace it not only with forgiveness, but with compassion for that person who's miserable. You know, misery likes company, and they can only give away what they have. So if that's what you see, you can have compassion. God wants us to have compassionate hearts. He doesn't want us to get connected and stirred in and caught up with all of it. He says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Okay? So you keep yourself unspotted from the world, being in the world, but not being spotted by the world through forgiveness. right? Yeah. Then you're not carrying anything around. You're not, oh, that hurt me so bad. Oh, I felt like a knife just jabbed me in the chest. Well, it probably did spiritually if you don't forgive. I'm telling you, it's a lifelong daily process that we have to do daily. What does the Bible say? How many times are you supposed to forgive? 7 times 70. That means we need to be in forgiving heart all day long. There's no getting around it, including forgiving yourself.
Yep, I've even struggled with that part of it, you know, asking myself, you know, like, why didn't I see, you know, what I see now beforehand? But, you know, some of that was my own choosing. It was my own inexperience with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it's all learning.
Yeah, and I just had to say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm learning to depend on you more, and please forgive me, and I choose to forgive myself as well.
Yeah, exactly. The choice is ours. It's a choice. When we choose it, even though we might not feel it in the moment, even though it didn't happen yet, when we choose it, then God meets us.
Yeah.
He said, choose life, right? You can choose death or life. You're choosing death if you stay under the spirit of rejection. You're choosing life when you choose to forgive.
Yeah.
As simple as that. So I put a note here. It says, what happens if we don't forgive the person from abandoning us? We just talked about it a couple of times already. What happens if you don't forgive the person who abandoned you? Doesn't feel good, does it?
Well, you're still hooked to them, too.
Yeah.
You know, you're still chained to them. You're still chained to all their stuff.
Uh-huh.
What's that?
Now, again, how do we get unchained?
Forgive.
Yeah. We're going to be speaking forgiveness this whole time.
You know?
We need to get a hold of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some other things you might take on? Now, we're talking about rejection, okay? What are some other things you might take on if we don't forgive?
Anger, frustration.
Yes.
Bitterness.
Yes. Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Confusion, doubt, dread. Accusations, I mean, every sin, right, if we don't forgive the person of their abandonment. Because it's not just that you feel rejection from them, you start to feel unworthy, self-hatred, critical. You start to get critical. Because, again, you might have gotten abandoned by the person, but you don't know a lot about them, let's say. Let's say maybe you do or you don't. It doesn't matter. But whatever they're carrying around in them, whether it's bitterness, anger, fear, jealousies, you'll receive those very things because you didn't forgive. Not just rejection, but with rejection comes a whole lot of other stuff. Okay, we're going to feel all kinds. As a matter of fact, I wrote it down. Forgive all those who abandon you or rejection, so rejection doesn't take root. Right? It says that in the scripture. Rejection doesn't take root, and what is a root? Root can become a root of bitterness. So rejection can actually breed bitterness. And with bitterness is all kinds of other issues. So right now what we're doing is we're just identifying what it means to have rejection and what it means to have abandonment. What the difference is, and what it feels like, what it looks like. See, the Bible is real clear. We need to know good and evil. We need to know the wiles of the devil, and we're learning them tonight. The enemy is sitting around, I think I wrote it in the book, he's sitting around with eating popcorn and watching you play ping pong ball with yourself. He doesn't have to do anything more because you're taking it by the, you know, you took it by the root and started going, ooh, this is terrible. Look what just happened to me. How horrible this, you know, what did they do? I thought they were Christians. How can they treat me like this? And so he's just sitting there with eating popcorn watching you defeat yourself. What's the thing we're to do with that? We are to forgive and release and let God be God. So as I go on with this conversation, just to throw something out there, another curve here, how does God test us?
He'll bring another situation where we have to identify it as either rejection or abandonment, and then what are we going to do about it?
Yeah. So what are you going to do about it?
Forgive them.
We're back to forgiveness. Matter of fact, there's a scripture, and it's in, I didn't write it in this booklet, and I do know that there's a scripture where it says, oh, I know where it is. It's in 2 Corinthians. You can write it down. 2 Corinthians 2, 5, excuse me, 5, 11. 2 Corinthians 2, 11. And actually, no, it's in there. 2 Corinthians 5 through 11. But in the middle of that, it says, all this bad stuff happened to you. What are you going to do? And it says, I'm going to find out if you forgive and love or if you don't. The whole purpose of every test is to see if we trust God. Do we believe if we forgive, we're not just getting them off the hook? Because a lot of people go, man, I'm not going to forgive them. That just gets them off the hook. You know, they need to be paid for what they did. Whatever. No. God tests us to see if we're going to trust him and forgive and love, stay in faith, or are we going to fall into doubt and fear? Because thinking, oh, this is so bad, God's not fixing it, where is God? You know, so that's what the test is all about. What is your heart? Let me give you an example of a test today. You can think about it as I'm speaking to hear about a test God done for you. So I'm sewing pillowcases right now, and I was videotaping it yesterday. And as I turned to do the sewing part, I hit my knee. Now, this is all on video. I hit my knee on the side of the table, and I watched the video to see how I responded. I passed the test because I thought for sure I cussed. I thought for sure I got mad. And when I looked at that video, all I did was laugh. I mean, it was excruciating. It was like hitting a funny bone on your knee. And I held my knee, and I didn't even say a cuss word. I said, oh, shoot. I didn't even say the other word, which I thought I did. And I just, Jesus, you know, and then I laughed. So that was a test. I mean, it wasn't a fun test. It was a little accident. But how I responded to it is what showed me that I passed it or not, that I trusted it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, you know. It might hurt right now, but it's going to be all right. And I responded gracefully, and I thought that was huge for me to see that on video. Because how I remember me responding was negative. I thought I cussed. I thought I yelled at God. I didn't do none of that, people. You know, we believe some things that aren't even real. I would love one day if we can all just videotape a portion of our day and go back and look at it, especially in a trial like it just had. It was huge. But we remember it differently, people. We do. We remember things mm-hmm. totally different. We have to ask God, Lord, is that what really happened? I mean, it just happened within seconds, and I thought of it differently when it happened. It was like, what? So it's a test. Do we really believe? Do we really trust God? He wants to know if he can trust you with more. Who wants more? Oh, yeah, we all want more. We all want more, but we ain't taking care of what we got. It reminds me of my car. You know, I have a nice car, but I want to get a truck for Tom. And I'm going, okay, I'm not even taking care of the car that I have. It's dirty. It's like, my daughter-in-law's funny. She sent me a picture of a car, and I opened the door, and all the cans and the bottles fell out. Well, that's what my back seat looks like. Because I'll drink a bottle, I'll just toss it in the back as I'm driving along. And so we got to take care of what we have, and he trusts you with more. So I shared my little story with you. You tell me, how does God test you, even today, maybe?
I had a little test. I'll tell you myself. We got a bill from Walmart, and they had talked me into taking out an extra credit card.
Yeah.
And Russ and I remember buying one thing with that card, and I don't remember using that card again. But we got a bill with all these other charges on it, and we called the fraud department and said, you know, this is fraudulent charges, you know, please discontinue the card. And, you know, they wanted to send us another number. I said, please don't send anything out. And we thought that they had sent the card out anyway and that somebody else had it. So when I, in the course of them calling me, I mean, this happened clear back in October. So, you know, they're wanting to get it resolved. I'm wanting to get it resolved. I'm already tired of dealing with them. And this one lady said, now, are you sure? And I said, well, I think I'm sure. And she said, well, we're just going to write all the charges off. Well, okay. So we get off the phone, and I could tell the Holy Spirit was just hovering right over that. I felt like he was saying, okay, are you going to really check this out? And I said, all right. So I told Russ, I said, you know, honey, do we still have those receipts from Walmart? Because we usually keep all our receipts from everything.
Yeah.
So he went out, and guess what? I had used that card. You know, it was in my wallet. I didn't just take it out. And I didn't remember it. So, you know, I had to call them up and apologize.
Right.
And pay that bill.
Yeah.
It was $300. And it was just like, all right. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing no matter what. I told the lady, I said, you know, it's not like I didn't have the money to pay the bill. And I said, I know a lot of people would just say, well, it's only Walmart, you know. But, you know, I know because God has given me a giving heart that if I was to allow that to stay there, it would stop the blessings and what God wants to release to me.
Right.
And, you know, and we're called to really be supporters of the kingdom. So, I mean, I don't want anything to be in the way of that. So that was my test.
Good. You passed it.
I had to go through and look it up and humble myself and repent to them and tell them I was really sorry.
Yes. Praise God. Okay, anybody else have a story like that? Okay, so that's the test. We've all got things, I'm pretty sure, when you're in your quiet time and or whatever, walking around, you'd be tested all day long in your thinking. You know, we get tested in our thinking, don't we?
Yeah.
Am I going to believe what God says, or am I going to believe what I feel? So, again, it's what are we going to do with that? Are we going to accept that? Are we going to believe God? You know, this is this whole abandonment. Okay, let me say this: when we're abandoned, it's not a surprise to God. He abandoned His Son at the cross, and He was His only begotten Son. We are His children as well, but He was His only begotten Son, and He abandoned Him to the cross. And you know what God said in Isaiah? It pleased Him to bruise Jesus. So we have to look at our lives and go, woohoo, I've been abandoned, yoo-hoo, I get an opportunity to really learn how to love, learn how to accept, learn how to trust God, even in the middle of this abandonment. He didn't close His eyes and you got abandoned. God saw it all. He was there when you were born. He was there when you were adopted. He was there when the grocery clerk left you at the, you know, whatever, or somebody left you at the altar. You know, God was there. And there's a scripture, and it keeps coming up in the back of my head, and I have to find it. It's in the Bible where it says that God causes people to abandon you. Isn't that amazing? He causes people, it says, to turn their backs from you. I think that's abandonment, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. He causes people to turn their backs from you so that you can choose. Because sometimes the people that we want to have in our lives aren't supposed to be there. And God is allowing the people to abandon you to free you. If we look at it as a positive, forgive the person that abandoned you and live your life, that's going to change everything. Because then we're trusting God with that abandonment. We're saying, God, wow, you were there. I mean, you let that happen. Maybe you caused it. Yes, I did. We think it's the devil all the time. It's not necessarily at all. God orders the steps of the righteous man, even in the middle of feeling abandoned. I think that's cool. I think that's good news, people.
Amen.
And then I have a little a thought here. Like I said, I wrote down things as I read the book. Fear of man is behind all of this, right? We can only be abandoned by a person. That's a man. You can't be abandoned by an inanimate object. You can only be abandoned by a person, so that means fear of man, of what they're going to do. Oh, I feel they're not like one. You know, one of the ladies was talking earlier about being abandoned by the grandparents because feeling like she wasn't enough. There's fear in there. There's fear. Oh, they don't love me. Oh, and that's fear talking. So fear of man is behind all of this. But we aren't to fear man. We're only to fear God. So there's another thought process that has to be fixed. Behind all the abandonment is fearing what people think, fearing if they're going to like us or not. You know what the truth is? Don't you want people to like you? We want people to like us. So that whole thought process of man gets in the forefront instead of God. We're to please God, not man. Now, it says that in the Word. We know it. You probably have quoted the Scripture. But living it is a different story. So that's just, like, again, with the big, this night tonight, we are just identifying some things. And during the book, we're going to process. But right now, we're just identifying. So let me ask you a question. Can you all agree that there's fear behind abandonment and rejection?
Yes.
Can we all agree to that?
Yes.
Is there any specific person that you know of in your thinking that abandoned you? You know, we already identified a few earlier, but right now, is there any, like I said tonight, my husband abandoned me, but I took care of it right away. But it happens. I was abandoned even by my son at one point. He just wouldn't, you know, we just never had a relationship. I felt completely abandoned by him. Not anymore. We got it restored. But those are things that have happened. I was afraid that he wouldn't like me or love me, so I was buying him everything, hoping he'd love me more. You see how that works? It just, that whole abandonment thing can make you poor. You can spend all your money trying to make someone like you.
You can also do it with performance.
Oh, boy.
That's what I've had the real issue with, is the Lord, just in this last week, He has been talking to me about wanting me to get my eyes off man,
yeah,
my eyes on him, because that's what I've done. I've performed for everybody. I've been everything to everybody all my life.
Yeah, you're a three-ring circus.
I've been living in a three-ring circus, and I realized that like it was time to get off the merry-go-round, and you know. It's been really delightful just spending time with the Lord and spending time with my husband. Huh? I mean, I'm actually getting my house cleaned up. It's sort of interesting.
You know, that is the funniest thing you say that.
Around.
That has been my beginning of the year. It seems like I'm taking care of more house things. I'm feeling more peaceful. I don't feel driven. Right? It's that whole, I better keep up with them because that's what they're, I had to pull out of a couple of things myself this year. And I know a couple of people know about it that are in this session, but I pulled out and I am so peaceful. I have more time now to spend with God, to read, to do things I've never done before.
Yeah.
I get it. And you know what?
Yeah.
The fear of man is getting lower and lower and lower.
Yeah.
It's no longer an issue. And I recognize it right away when it happens, though. Don't you recognize it right away?
Oh, yeah.
It's clear. It's like, ooh. It's like when you felt, oh, I better make that right, that bill right, because you knew right away. It didn't linger for a week. You knew right away. I love it when God works quickly like that.
It's just been a really good time, just a time to really sort of reevaluate everything.
Yes. It's that new wine with the new wineskins. It's a new year, and I'm pretty sure I've talked to a few people who felt this like is a brand new starting point again, to start over, to, you know, go back to the grassroots again. Like, for me, the Lord's brought me back to where I started with ministry. You know, I started speaking to 5 or 6 people and shared how the Lord delivered me, and he wants me to go back to that again. That's why I'm teaching this class, because he delivered me from abandonment and rejection. And the thing is that he delivered me from rejection, because abandonment will always happen. We got to get a hold of that. Abandonment will happen to you. It's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen with your kids. It's going to happen with your spouse. It's just, what are you going to do with it when it happens? That's the ticket. I'm going to read, it's on page 10. I'm going to read this thing right here. I just kind of made a note. Patience comes through trials. Getting free from rejection comes by experiencing abandonment and applying forgiveness. Isn't that basically what we were talking about? It's all about forgiving. And forgiving ourselves for being driven to be, you know, a 3-ring circus for someone, to trying to be everything that we think we need to be loved and accepted and approved of. When the bottom line is, you have to focus on God, and that's where your acceptance and your approval is. Period. Men are going to reject you. Men are going to treat you, abandon you. Men are going to do it. That's why it says, I cannot fear what man will do to me. I have to fear what God can do, but in a reverence way, not in a frightful way. And not even in a driven way, because we can fear God in the wrong way, too. I just disappointed God. I just did something, and he's going to be mad at me. That's the wrong kind of fearing God. You know, I like to put it this way, and I did it the other day, just to see how it works. But the word fear, if you took that word out in most of the sentences and replace it with love, it will change. It will explain to you what that fear means. For example, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? You hear that scripture? Let's put the love in there. Yeah. The love of God, loving God, is the beginning of wisdom. See how easy it is to understand now what that fear means? Fearing really means is loving God, believing him. That's it. It's not, bowing down and, you know, at his feet and kissing his feet, whatever, which is fine because I've done that. But when you replace that word fear with love, especially in the New Testament, because Jesus came to give us love, that's going to change the meaning. I would encourage you, as you read the word, where you see the word fear and it fits appropriately, because you don't want to say a love of man is behind all this. No, fear of man is different, okay? But the love of God, whenever that's in there, the fear of God, change it to love. Love of God. Wow. That gives you hope. That gives you the sustenance and power. But when you say, fear of the Lord, it kind of puts a heaviness and a damper and a drivenness on it, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It feels differently.
Yeah. If they had the word, like, if they had it written as reverence, it would be different in my opinion, because I think there is a reverence we have to have for him. But I'm
yeah, there is a reverence in there, and that's what the NIV changes the words to, or gives you a definition of fearing the Lord, which is it is a new translation of the word. Okay, so I went to the scripture and I found out what the fear of the Lord is. It says to hate evil. It says in Psalms, it says to fear God is to hate evil. So by clinging to that which is good, now I'm fearing the Lord. Because I'm not clinging to that which is evil. That's fearing the Lord. And, of course, definitely reverence, because you have reverence to a king and ship and all that. But I want to go deeper. Reverence is such a cliche. There's no meaning behind it anymore to me. I don't see people reverencing God. But if you fear God in a right way of, I am going to do what is right in God's sight, now you're fearing God properly, like you when you went in and took care of that bill, right? Mm-hmm. So you in fact disputed evil and you clung to that which was good, and now you're fearing the Lord properly. I just see it as that's practical to me, because there's a whole lot of different ways to reverence. There's several levels of reverence, you know, and so I kind of just threw, I don't use reverence at all personally. I just like what the scripture says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And I like to take the word love and stick it in there. So I just kind of, I want the stuff. I want to know how to really love God. Because if I can love God like I'm supposed to, I will never feel rejection. Never, ever, ever, ever. See, because if I know God loves me, I'll know that he never abandoned me. So I'm learning more and more every day. And I know a lot about his love, but I can learn way more. I never want to feel abandonment, or excuse me, rejection. Again, you're going to be abandoned. You could be abandoned tomorrow at the grocery store. I don't know. What are you going to do with it? You're going to laugh. You're going to laugh. You're going to forgive them. You're going to say, thank you, Lord, because you allowed this to happen for my good. So I have a little note here. It says, getting free from rejection comes through trials of abandonment. So you can't have one without the other. You can't just have rejection. Rejection comes from something. But getting free from the feelings of rejection comes through the trials of abandonment. So let's say you've never been abandoned in your life. Are you going to ever feel rejection? Mm. Can you give any examples of rejection without being abandoned? Can anybody give in? I personally can't think of any, because a lot of people, they're just talk about rejection. Oh, the spirit of rejection. It's the spirit of rejection. Yeah, it's a spirit that's been joined to you because you've been abandoned and you have a broken heart. Rejection can only come if there's room. So the room comes through a broken heart, a crack in your spirit. And abandonment is the door. So that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. Just, does it make it clear now that abandonment and rejection are two different things, and you cannot have rejection without abandonment?
Yes, it does.
If I'm not making sense, please, because I'm very teachable, too, if I'm missing it here, because I can always grow and learn. But that's how I've seen it, and I've been teaching this for a long time, and God's never corrected me on this. And so he adds things to it, but he's never changed the foundation of those things. So by understanding, so we're starting to understand some things. We're getting some knowledge right now. And I want to thank you for your participation. It sure is helpful, because I love hearing from you as well.
Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that it goes deep into our hearts, and that we be wise to see abandonment and rejection coming, and to be quickly to forgive. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you send your angels to each house and cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ, and let them sleep in your arms tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.